Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
7 weeks have passed, and still we celebrate. 7 weeks have come and gone, and still we are greeted with a few Easter decorations and with the words, Alleluia, Christ is risen. We can't get enough of this victory, this life, this resurrection, this glorious Savior and his boundless love for us. We can't get enough of it. The history is so precious to us. He who died now lives. But even more precious is the benefits. He died for us to win forgiveness for us. He lives so that we might someday live with him. To have only Christ's death without his resurrection is meaningless. And to have his resurrection without his death is an empty promise. And yet, put together, we are saved. This season of Easter is the highest season of our entire church year, not just of our church year, but really of your entire life. Better than any birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, or even births of children. For life is ours forever. The Spirit convinces us that this life is ours forever. We saw our sins hanging on the cross. We saw our sins left in that tomb with the strips of linen, and yet Christ was not there. He was alive. He lives. So too must we live. He is free. And in holy baptism, you were thrust into this victory, this life, this freedom. It is yours fully and completely. The Spirit ripped out our calloused hearts and gave us a new heart that seeks to love and serve God above all things. And so you do find joy and delight in hearing his word and receiving his sacraments. You do find joy and delight in living that God-pleasing life out of praise and thanks for all that he has done for you. How wonderful it is when our feelings match this faith. It is the Spirit's testimony in our hearts. God created us as emotional creatures. Adam rejoiced over his bride. Jesus rejoiced that salvation is a free gift from God. He also wept at the grave of Lazarus in sadness. And heaven is simply described as everlasting joy. We are not robots now, nor will we be in heaven. But God created us with emotions and feelings and redeemed us with the same. And so you will still be you in heaven with your same personality. The only difference is sin will be removed. We have that now in part, but then we shall have it in full. And so by that same Holy Spirit, you respond, He is risen indeed, Alleluia. By the Holy Spirit, you find joy in living that God-pleasing life. By the Holy Spirit, you find joy in receiving His word and His supper. And by the Holy Spirit, perhaps a little smile creeps across your face as you ponder heaven and its wonders. Anticipation, yearning, excitement, joy, longing for all that Christ has won. How truly wonderful it is when our feelings match our faith. But we dare not live by those feelings. As wonderful as they may be, we dare not live by them. Christ bluntly tells us that the world will persecute us. Even those within the visible church will persecute us. They will hate you because you are connected to Christ. So they will limit you, drive you away, and at times even kill you. They will question your intelligence for believing that God created all things in 6 days, because it seems far more plausible that nothing simply turned into something. And you can feel sad, not simply for yourself, but for them. And their stubbornness against God. You can feel distraught and almost sick to your stomach as well. Christ ascends into heaven and leaves you here in a world filled with enemies who want nothing more than to tear you and your children down. Peer pressure is a great thing, and it only increases as your children age, as you full well know, while their morality seems to only decrease. It doesn't get much easier in adulthood either. The world hasn't let up since Christ's ascension. Satan still attacks. His tactics have changed, but he still has one purpose: to divorce you, your children, regardless of how young they are, to divorce you from Christ. He will even use the visible church on earth. They will play his puppet with progressive teachings, superficial songs, to take the attention away from Christ and turn it back onto you. And we can begin to wonder why. Why does the world have to be like this? Where is God in all of this? Why so many bombers and terrorists and wars? Why can't God just give to his church peace on earth? Why can't we have a visible, unified church instead of so many fractions and splinters, much to the laughter of our enemies? Why can't we just feel happy and okay all the time? We don't feel that life as we lay our loved one in a grave. We're confident that it is his, but we don't always feel it. We don't feel that resurrection as we go to our daily routines, mundane and at times often boring. We feel like we're stuck in a rut. We don't feel that resurrection, that joy. Feelings are a tremendous gift from God, but we dare not live by those feelings. And so God has given to us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Counselor, to do just that, to comfort us. But understand that the way he comforts us is vastly different than probably the way that we expect him to. He doesn't remove persecution. He doesn't stop all wars, all bombers, all terrorists, guns, and violence. He doesn't stop it. He doesn't put us in a nice little Christian community where everyone believes all that we believe and we never have to worry about locking horns with anyone else. He doesn't give you an easy life or even an interesting life at times. He doesn't spare your physical life from pain or suffering or even death. He will not spare your physical life. And he certainly will not give you everything that you've always wanted. But he will always comfort you. He comforts with words. He comforts by speaking to you. For he preaches to you of Jesus Christ. So he comforts by that holy gospel. He preaches Jesus to console and comfort and soothe your heart. For God has not left you to the whims of this world. They are not in control of anything. And neither is God angry with you, as if because you are suffering this or that, he is somehow punishing you. But you have a loving and a gracious God. Because of Christ's work, you have a loving and tender Father who will bless you. In Christ, you are holy and righteous already. Though you cannot see it with your eyes, you already are holy and righteous. And through Christ, heaven is open to you, waiting for you to ascend and to be with Christ forever. Despite what you feel, despite what you think, this is true. So despite your feelings, live by the word of God. God is good and will keep his promise. He loves you. And God's love is not simply a feeling that dwells in his heart, but it shows itself in an action. This is love, that he would lay down his life for us. This is love. God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Love hangs on that tree bearing your sins. Love takes away your sin. Love rises from the grave. Love gives you himself in a wonderful meal. Love has opened heaven to you yet again. Your feelings change, but this love does not change. One moment you love your spouse, the next you argue. One moment you love Christ, the next you're more or less indifferent. One moment you feel like he is right next to you, and so with him you can blaze through anything. You have strength and courage. The next you feel as if he is so far away, so weak, so helpless. So you cannot live by your feelings. We dare not live by our feelings. We cannot judge God, our faith, our certainty of heaven. We cannot judge anything by our feelings, not even right or wrong. They're too fickle, too volatile, too changing. Judge all things by the word of God. So hear the word of God, you who suffer. Hear of Christ's death and resurrection, you who hurt. For heaven is open to you. And this too shall pass. This too shall pass. Heaven is yours forever. Listen to the way, you who feel lost in this world. Listen to the truth, you who are constantly told that truth is subjective. Whatever you believe will agree to disagree. There is an object truth. Listen to the life, you who inch closer and closer to death. Christ has taken away and borne your sin and put on you his perfect righteousness. The law is fulfilled, so the curse is removed. Your sins cannot condemn you. Even if you feel guilty, they cannot condemn you, for you rest in Christ. Repent and believe in him. The Spirit has given you this new heart. Whether you feel it or not, the Spirit has given you a new heart through holy baptism, for you cannot deny that water touched your head. You cannot deny that, regardless of what your feelings say. Despite what you feel about Holy Communion today, whether you wait in eager anticipation or it's simply the next thing that we have to do, you cannot deny the fact that God will touch your lips. Forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours. You cannot deny that, regardless of how you feel. Regardless of how you feel about this sermon or this service, you cannot deny that God has come to yet again comfort and forgive and give you his heaven. You cannot deny that. So you have a gracious, tender Father who will never punish you for anything. He will never get back at you. You will never see even one drop of his wrath. Regardless of what you think, regardless of how you feel he is treating you, you cannot deny that he is only love toward you. Because of Christ, he only loves. The Spirit comforts you through the Word. He brings you joy and happiness through the Word. At times you feel it in your heart, but at times you do not. Perhaps even most of the time you don't feel it. But nevertheless, it is true. You have joy. You have peace. And so we still celebrate Easter. It doesn't feel like Easter, but we force ourselves to celebrate because this resurrection is everything for us. If Christ had not been raised, then your faith is useless. You are still in your sins. It is everything for us. And we will not stop next week as we move on to Pentecost, or even when we're at Christmas. We will not stop celebrating this Easter resurrection. It is why we worship on Sundays. But each and every time we gather, we come into the presence of our risen Christ to receive his gifts. So as faith informs your knowledge of what to think, and as faith informs your eyes on how to view this world, so also faith must inform your emotions of what to feel, what is right and what is wrong. The Spirit has not left you. Christ has not abandoned you. He is with you always. He is with you always to the end of the age in word and in sacrament. And that certainly is a reason to rejoice and be glad. Alleluia, Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.